الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس صدق الله العظيم All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the choicest blessings of Allah ta'ala be upon His most beloved Nabi, our leader Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank and praise Allah Ta'ala for the numerous bounties and blessings He is bestowing upon us. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to give us the ability and the strength to be able to use all His blessings in a manner that will please Him. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to save us from this, that we misuse and abuse His blessings. We do not give into weakness where we start using and abusing His blessings against His orders and His commands, as a result of which Allah Ta'ala becomes angry and displeased and He snatches away these blessings from us. Allah give us tawfiq. So alhamdulillah, our Wednesday night program has got to do with us having a proper relationship and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's our spiritual clinic, just every Wednesday. Clinic was supposed to close this week. Doctor is going on holiday. So now we are here, inshallah. But we decided that inshallah we'll do one more week, inshallah. And the important thing is that if the heart is not sorted out with all the sicknesses and the spiritual illnesses, then the effect of that will be on all our other actions. Our ibadat will not be right. Our du'as won't be right. And in fact, to such an extent, our interaction with our fellow human beings will be such that we will actually be making our own, our own Jahannam, or we'll be messing up our own Akhirat. So that is why whatever activity we are involved in, mashallah, that is good. Whether it is in our Jamaat activities, whether it is in the Imamat which I do, whether we are teaching in the madrasas, or whether we are doing welfare work, or whatever we are doing in terms of religious activities, it will carry on. But if the heart is not right, then those activities also will not be right. Because then we're going to be doing it for the wrong reason. In the process, we might become victim to our own weaknesses, and we might start misappropriating and doing all kinds of wrong things. So we have to be very, very careful. And then obviously, when it comes to our worldly relationships also, our worldly activities, there's a very strong possibility that we are going to harm our worldly activities as well. So therefore, we have to at all times be conscious of our relationship with Allah Ta'ala, and that we do not in any way go on to acts of disobedience in whichever way it might be. So today we're going to talk about one aspect which we have spoken about in the past also, which is very important and relevant. We have to bring it about repeatedly. I need it myself, actually. So if we have to look at, let us look at one hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, one person came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked him for advice. Give me some advice. You know, you see a pious person and they say, also give me the advice, but don't give me big, long advice. So he's asking for advice and he's giving short advice. So sometimes he's right also, maybe because the man can't remember too many things. And sometimes it happens, somebody comes to us and asks us for advice. And we say, hey, this guy came to ask me for advice, let me give him advice. And we give old Juma Bayan to the guy. And say, oh, wait, I went to go ask advice for this guy. You see, I'm in a hurry, I can't remember all this. So nasiha has to be short. So look at the nasiha that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave this person. He says, la taghdab. Don't get angry. Don't get angry. Now, alhamdulillah, we all are present here. I'm sure most of us don't get angry. But yeah, if this anger is not taken care of, and if we're not aware of the sickness, it's a sickness. Now, it's not a sickness per se. The sickness will be when we don't know how to control our anger. So if we look at the sins that people normally commit everywhere, it is as a result of two major sicknesses. One is as a result of anger, and the other one is as a result of desires. Now let's look at desires. Allah has put desires in everybody. Desires are there. For example, the desire to eat is there, alhamdulillah. The desire to drink, the desire to wear good clothes. These are all desires. To such an extent, even lust. Lust is also a desire, right? It's a desire, a carnal desire. It is there. So all these desires, they have to be fulfilled. And if a person says, I'm not going to fulfill my desires, I'm not going to eat from tomorrow because it's a desire, I'm not going to drink because it's a desire, then obviously he's going to harm himself. So desires have to be fulfilled. But when will the desire become a danger to him is when he oversteps the boundary of fulfilling that desire. So what he does is, he needs to eat, but he goes and earns the food or the thing in a haram way. So that becomes now a desire that is fulfilled, but he's overstepped the bounds. Or he goes and drinks something that is haram. Or he goes and acquires wealth in a haram way so that he can fulfill his desire. And the same will come to the desire, which is the carnal desire. A person has it, Allah has put it there. You can't tell a man, hey, you know what, you got carnal desire, you got lust. You can't tell him that because Allah has put it there. But when will it become a problem? When he oversteps the bound and he goes beyond. Allah says, فَمَنْ اِبْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَٰلِكَ. Whoever goes beyond his halal wife and he goes in common zina, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ. And these are the people that have overstepped the bounds. So as a result of not controlling desires, a person now goes into sin. So that's the first one, desires. And the second one is anger. Anger is that other thing Allah has placed in. It's a normal emotion that Allah Ta'ala has placed in everybody. If a man doesn't get angry, then he needs to go and have himself checked up. He needs to go to the psychologist or some other hospital where they say, why this guy is not getting angry? He's got something not right. Imagine all things are happening to him and he's just sitting there. This guy is stoned, something not right with him. So, but on the other hand, there is a line where this anger should not overstep. The minute a person oversteps the line of venting and showing his anger, then such a person is going to also go into sin. So you can go into sin fulfilling a halal desire if you're not careful, and you can go into sin if a person does not control his anger. So we mustn't worry about who else gets angry. We must worry about how much of anger have I got in me. And how quick do I heat up? Some people's car get a very quick heating problem. And then they have to go and take it by the mechanic. The car is overheating very, very quickly. And other people, the fuse, they say the fuse shoots very quickly. The fuse is gone. So we need to sort out why the fuse is going so quickly. So we all get angry, but we need to see that we do not in any way overstep the bounds. Now look at this hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He gave this person only one advice. He says, La taghdab, two words. Don't get angry. And in one other hadith, the man said, tell me more. This man told Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, give me advice, but don't give me long advice. Another person came, he says, give me advice. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam probably knew who the person was. He knew what was his weakness. So he said, don't get angry. So the man said, some more, tell me more. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't tell him, don't lie or don't. He said, don't get angry, second time. So the man said, tell me some more, one more thing. Again, the third time, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't tell him don't overeat or anything. Don't get angry. So in other words, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam could see that this person, by his nature and his disposition, is such that he loses it very quickly. So he must be very, very conscious. So each one of us must again look at ourselves, that you know how much of this problem have I got where I really lose it. So to get angry is permissible. To get very angry also is permissible. But the minute the anger reaches a point where we're going to go and overstep, then that anger has put us into a bad relationship with Allah Ta'ala. And the other person made us angry, so he's all right. He made us angry, he's gone. But we started losing it to such, we messed up our own akhirat, our own relationship with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So Hazrat Tanwir Rahmatullah Alayhi has made mention, he says, you know what? Just by giving these two words, La taghdab, don't get angry, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has closed many, many doors of sin and disobedience upon a person and anybody for that matter. So now we don't want to commit sin. We don't want to commit. Look, we tell a man go and gamble, go and drink, go and commit zina, go and do all the people down, go and steal all that. He said, no, I don't want to do it. Why? Because I don't want to break the order and the command of Allah. So if we have that in our hearts, I don't want to break the command of Allah, then when this anger is now really boiling point, then you must know that, hey, I don't want to break the command of Allah. I am allowed to get angry, but I don't want to break the command of Allah because by saying or doing something that will now result in a act of disobedience. So, mashallah, we stayed away from so many acts of disobedience. And now we went and going to another act of disobedience. So you can see, so disobedience is disobedience. It's got different forms. So that is what we are supposed to keep in mind. And Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah has also made mention. He says that those who want to reform themselves in as far as their spiritual condition is concerned, then the first step to reformation is to treat and to deal with your anger problems, anger issues. So sometimes a person just loses it on the spur of the moment, right? Somebody makes him angry, and that's where he must be careful. Other people have got built up and pent up anger for a long period of time. Maybe something happened in their lifetime, you know, when they were younger or something. It happens, and many times we find, we are also told that in our school, for example, they say, the parents say, this child got anger issues because of whatever, right? So that they got built up anger also. And some people got anger because they just inherited it. So this guy, he gets angry, but you know, his father also was like that. Oh, and if you see his grandfather, you should have seen his grandfather. So I was talking to one teacher many years ago. I said, hey, you really lose it quickly, man. What's yours? Why you get so quickly cross? He left our school now. So he said, well, you know what? This comes from my father. He said, my father used to get so angry, so cross in such a little, over any small thing. So I think I inherited that. So maybe it's got something to do with the genes, I don't know. It's genetic, you know, you hear that. So in any case, it could be, so it could be any of these three things. So we need to know if it is that genetic or it is because of, you know, just a short fuse normally, or it is just because, you know, people just make us cross quickly and we just lose it quickly, whatever it might be. We must be aware that I cannot go on to the next step of reforming myself and becoming closer to Allah if I have not overcome this particular phase of my sickness, and that is of getting angry. Now, to get angry, remember, is correct. And anger is vented in various ways. Anger is actually what we can regard as an emotion that of aggression that needs to be sometimes expressed. And sometimes it's not even anger, it is just that aggression has to be. For example, you are on a battlefield and people are attacking. You can't sit there and be nice and sweet, or guys, yeah, okay, guys. At that time, that jazba, that spirit of aggression has to come out, because you have to fight back now. You can't be sitting back and being happy with all the guys. You have to fight back. Now, if you don't fight back, you're sitting on a battlefield and you're just being nice and sweet to everybody. You must go home. You can't be on the battlefield. That's not a place for you. So that spirit of and passion of aggression that has to be expressed is very closely linked to anger. So anger comes about because somebody provokes us, somebody makes us cross, somebody, you know, did something we're not supposed to do. So at that time, then what we are supposed to do is now say, okay, now where do I stop with this thing here? Now, if a man, for example, is interfering with our wife, or with our daughter, for example, right? And we're walking there and we say, man, it's a joke. Then something is wrong with us. At that time, what is a man? He's going to lose it. He's going to get angry. So it's only right. So if a man doesn't get angry, according to Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Ali, that man is a donkey. And if a man loses it more than what he's supposed to, then also he's not right in his head. So there is moderation and there is moderate venting of anger. So that is a very important thing to keep in mind. So it is good to get angry. There's a time when you must. There's a time and a place for anger. You don't just use it, and you don't also don't use it. Like if a person got a gun, you got a gun, you need the gun. And there are times when you need to use that gun. And there are times you don't use the gun. And the time when you're supposed to use the gun, you don't use it. They say, what's wrong with this guy here? He had all the chance to defend himself and he could do whatever he wanted to. And another fellow, he just took out a gun because somebody just tramped his toe by mistake by the masjid, took out and he shot the fellow. You say, but you also not right, so you must use your gun. So anger is like that. You don't just lose it and start blowing hot air all the time and swearing and all that because something has happened. So something happens repeatedly sometimes. These are the tests from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, we must be careful how and where, and there's a place for all of these things. And you must remember one single moment of anger One moment of anger, just that one single moment, can be so harmful, just that moment, that it can make a person lose his akhirat, because he can end up saying something so bad and so drastic. That today, one hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that a man is so close to Jannah, right on the brink of Jannah, but just one word of his, and it will fling him far away from Jannah. So at that point in time, he got angry, he said something bad against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or something he did not understand, and he had a misunderstanding, that anger, he said something. And there are some people, they are right on the brink of Jahannam, but just one good word at some time, they just said something, and they are into Jannah. So therefore, this whole aspect of controlling our anger is something we should be looking at all times. And it happens just in a single moment. And after that, when a person acts wrongly, then he starts regretting. See, I should not have said that. I should not have did that. I did tell the children one story in my class. I don't tell a small children, get traumatized. A friend of mine, so his father had a major fight with the mother, and he slaughtered her with a bread knife. The children all the way, just, I don't tell the small children. They start imagining a bread knife, you know. Then the minute he done, he said, hey, I should not have done that. Why did I do that? So I say, one single moment and that and finish. And what he was supposed to do, the bread knife was cutting bread. So he lamented his little wife from there. So therefore, we have to be careful. One single moment, it can cause so much of regret that a person will have forever and ever. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that, you know, a strong man is not one person who can overpower his enemy in a wrestling match. Very strong. But a strong person is he who can control his anger, especially at that time when he has got all the strength and all the ability, and the thing is that it's height, he can do whatever he wants to. So then if he controls it, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, laysa shadidu bisur'ah. You know, a strong man is not one who overpowers his enemy. But in the shadidu alladhi yamlikul ghadab, a strong and a courageous man is one who can control his anger. Now, we all have different dispositions and different temperaments. And at that time, certain situations come about. So it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to give us an opportunity. So what happens when a person becomes angry? The first and the most harmful thing happens is how he misuses his tongue. So see, we said that if you control your anger, you close many doors of sin, right? So one is you lose control of your anger, is what you say with your tongue. You swear somebody, you start cursing somebody. You mustn't curse. Because if you curse somebody and that person is not justified of that curse, the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that the curse goes right to Allah. The minute you curse somebody, the curse goes by Allah. And if there is acceptance for that curse, that means it's a justified curse, it will fall on that person. But it's not a justified curse. It will come back and fall from where it came. It has to go back where it came. So you just cause it for yourself. So we have to be so very careful that we don't say some things with our tongue to somebody who has angered us at that moment without us realizing that that was not the curse that we... Or we taunt somebody. To taunt somebody, to slander somebody is not a good thing to do, because it is like hurting a person's feelings, and that is going to be harmful. And we know that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam addressed the Kaaba and he said, I love you and you are the house of Allah and you are most blessed. But the heart of a believer is much more sacred than you. So anywhere you go to the Kaaba and start doing all wrong things to it, throw dirt on the Kaaba and kick it and all that. No, when you see now, they opened up the Hatim, everything there, now you can go and kiss the Kaaba and kiss the cloth, alhamdulillah, they opened it up. And people want to, you know, hug the cloth, there's nothing wrong, alhamdulillah. It's just the barakat, the blessing that they want to attain, it's not they worship in the Kaaba or anything like that, we only worship Allah. Now you find one fellow coming there and doing all wrong things to the Kaaba and busy ripping up the cloth and busy spitting on it and doing haram things and all wrong things. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says the heart of a believer is even more sacred. So we hurt somebody's feelings, we swear them, we slander them, we taunt them, and we hurt their feelings in such a way, after we feel very, very sorry why we said all these things. The second thing is that sometimes our anger, and this happens very often, is it makes us physical body language, and we start whacking the fellows, we start hitting them, and we hit somebody in such a manner that he becomes injured in such a manner that we end him up in hospital. So that is also something that is it's a sin to do that. So again, you see how many sins are coming out as a result of not controlling the anger. And the third thing is that sometimes the anger comes so much, but now the fellow who made you angry, you can't fight him back. Because he's a mashallah strong wrestler, you know. So he did something, but you can't. He's a powerful person. So what you do? You keep that anger in. But when a person keeps anger in, he doesn't get rid of it, then it breeds malice. Malice means that you start hating that person. And you create hatred, then you're going to do all other things in a way that's going to harm your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's another thing we have to be careful. Also, anger creates arrogance, because a person, when he's angry, then he feels, you know, I say it like this, and you must all keep quiet and listen to me. And all the people that are under him, his subjects, they all are scared of him. His employees, they are scared of him. His little children are scared of him. Maybe his wife is also scared of him. You know. So that gives a person, without him realizing, a sense of arrogance. So another major sin has come about as a result of not having controlled anger. So therefore, it is so important that this, we must treat ourselves, that I have to get spiritual treatment for anger. And so you see now, I spoke about keeping your anger in. The Quran says, "Wal kazimin al ghayza." Allah speaks about the qualities of the pious people in that. It says, those people who suppress their anger. But if you suppress your anger and just leave it in there, then it's harmful. That's why the ayat immediately after that is, "Wal afina anin nas." One is you suppress the anger, the man made you very cross. And the second thing you do is, you say, okay, I forgive you, and forget about it. But if you don't forgive the person, you keep it, that's where the malice is going to come. And that's going to harm a person, his physical self also is going to become very cross, because he's got it all the time in him. Now one alim has given a very beautiful example. Those who go to the gym, when you go to the gym, and you pick up weights up to a certain limit, then you stop. So your anger that comes inside you, you must regard it like a certain weight that you have lifted up, and you have controlled it, and you didn't let it get further. How you got to the lifting of that weight, after then you stopped. Next time you get more angry, again you say that anger, I'm not going to let it get. So it's like you have again lifted up a weight, and you have not allowed that anger to go beyond and cause it. The minute you give vent to the anger, that means you drop that whole weight down, and now is a problem. So how you make sure that you... Because each time when a person goes, he doesn't just pick up first of all. What's the heavy ones on the side there? 50 or 50? 50, yeah?
Very
heavy. Heavy, yeah. Now you don't just go, if I go first in 50, you just will fall down there. So you start with 10, 20, 30, then you pick up, right? So the same thing, you will have anger, keep it, don't let it go. Don't let it overpower you. So that is as far as you could go. So just make 20, just say 10 kilograms of anger, right? Just, I hope it isn't something to measure anger with. The next time you get more angry, so alhamdulillah, last time I kept my anger, now I can keep it even more. Now I can keep it even more. And in this way, so that anger, you are building up a resistance to that anger, and now you will not get angry. Yes, there are times when you need to get angry, but then again, you'll do it in a controlled way. So that is the thing. And the second thing, well, afina anin nas means that you must overlook and forgive and pardon and carry on. But if you're not going to, then you're going to carry malice. And malice is a very bad form of hatred. It's worse than hatred. It's going to make you plan that how can I harm this fellow in some way or the other. You're going to be planning all the time against him. So that is why we have to be very, very careful when it comes to giving vent to our anger. And when the moment comes, at any time it comes more, that means we are spending more time in the gym now. Okay? If it comes very less, then you're not spending so much time in the gym. You know what I'm saying? More and more opportunities for you to pick up the weight. So when it comes, you must say, okay, this I'm not going to let. And you must know where to get angry, when not to get angry. Like, you know, sometimes we get angry at the wrong time. There's a misunderstanding. And we admire some people how they are so provoked, they become so angry, and nothing happens. They just sit back and they don't let anything happen to them. You know, Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayhim, one day he was coming from somewhere and there was a person who hated him, didn't like him. So he started following Imam Abu Hanifa on the road and he started taunting him and started swearing him. And Imam Abu Hanifa carried on walking and this man is now how much you going to take? What you going to do? You get cross at some point. Say, "Why? What's your problem? You know, what's your problem? Then you're going to go for the fellow." So this man was, Imam Hanifa just carried on walking. He was very, very enduring. Now the road came like this. It forked off, they said. So Imam Hanifa's house this side and that fellow's house on that side. So Imam Hanifa stopped, told the brother, now my house is, I'm going this side, you're going this side. Anything else you want to say? You can just say it finished now, then you can go your way, I'm going to go my way. Now how chilled he must have been, how cool he must have been to do that. That's why he was Imam Hanifa. And so the man just didn't know what to say. Imam Sahib went home and that. He brought some very rich gifts afterwards. He found out where this person went. He came by that person's house and he gave him a gift. That may got even bigger shock. That now Imam, he says, Tama, what's up with back? Okay. I'll tell you, I'll use the zikr, you can do zikr individually. So what we are saying is that that is how he controlled himself. Right? So that was Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. I want to give one or two other incidents on that, but inshallah on another occasion. So the most important thing is for us to be aware, I have got the problem. I mustn't cause my anger to let me do something that I might take out my anger. I might swear you, I feel good about it. But what did I do to my akhirat? I suppressed you. You are weaker than me. You can't do nothing. You kept quiet. What did I do to my akhirat? Was losing my cool. So we have to be careful. Therefore, the most important thing to do is immediately step back. Number one, hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Shaitan got one job in life, and that is to provoke. What is it? Shaitan's work is, وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغُنِ and shaitan incites you, فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. So know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you must know that إِنَّ الْغَضَبَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ. Anger is from shaitan. So even if something is little not so bad, shaitan will come and say, check what this guy is doing. Sort him out, man. Don't. And shaitan will whisper all kinds of ears, swear words in your ears, and you'll pass it on. And وَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ مِنَ النَّارِ. And shaitan is from the fire. So if you want the fire to become engulfed in your heart and overtake you, and then you don't know what you are saying, then in that case, give anger, vent to your anger. So shaitan is the number one, the second thing I told you. And also you must remember, a lot of people, this I'll tell you my personal experience, right? They become affected with a jinn that overtook them. Nobody sent the jinn, nobody made jadu on them, nothing happened. If a person gets angry, he opens the door to shaitan to come in him. That's why the hadith, and this is the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that shaitan says that when a person is angry, then we take over, we take control of him. And that's where the bread knife story came. The guy didn't realize what he's doing in that single moment. Shaitan make him do it. After that, the guy does whatever he does, then he can start regretting it for the rest of his life. So we have to be so very careful. The wife makes us angry, then we threaten her with divorce, and sometimes people give 25 divorces. Never mind, three, yeah, I give you 25 today. Then after that, you come looking for? Yeah, okay, sort this one out here, man. It's with bed, you can't. We got no. You shoot somebody 3 times with a bullet, and you say, come back to life now. No one can come back to life. It's like 3 bullets you shot. So control that. And then leave the place, very important, because shaitan is there. Leave the place and walk away. Other thing is, if you're standing, sit down. If you're sitting, lie down. Make wudu. But just be remember that I don't want to say and do anything that my Allah is a bit angry. So read A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajim. Durud Sharif is very, very calming. Out of Durud Sharif, immediately it'll bring a person now. So there are some of the things you need to do. And as far as I'm talking to myself, now we all get angry big time. But now to treat ourselves. So we'll skip the zikr because the azan is gone already. Make our zikr at home, inshallah. If Hafiz Ali gives us off this week, then inshallah we will see you now in January. Inshallah. I was in Springs. Hafiz Ali phoned me. He said, when are you coming? I said, I'm leaving. I left Springs at 5:30. No, 6:30. 6:30, I left Springs. I was here 25 to 8, yeah. I said, I can't believe it. My wife is saying, phone and cancel. You're driving. See how you're driving. I said, no. Hafiz Ali, you know, you're not going to leave me. So I come and I keep us off. Bismillah ar-Rahman, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa la aqibatu al-muttaqeen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام، تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكون من الخاسرين. يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا الله، we begging you through your grace, through your mercy, through your might, through your power. يا الله send down special conditions upon us. يا الله forgive us through your greatness, through your forgiveness. يا أرحم الراحمين through your name of Al-Ghaffar, Al-Ghafur. Ya Allah, forgive all our sins. Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Ya Allah, send down every kind of good condition on everyone that is present in this gathering. Those who have got whatever difficulties, you know what are their difficulties. Ya Allah, you remove their difficulties and make everything easy for them. Those who have got financial problems, you remove their financial problems. Those who have got debts, you pay off their debts. Those who have got sickness and illness, Ya Allah, you grant them shifa. Those that are recuperating from any operation and procedure, Ya Allah, you grant them shifa. Ya Allah, you grant us every kind of goodness that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has saved us from, every kind of difficulty that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has saved. Ya Allah, send down special and good conditions on our country. Ya Allah, give us such leaders that are accountable, honest. Ya Rahman Rahim, save us from such rulers that who will have no mercy and will be cruel and will have no accountability. Ya Allah, save our country from instability and from going down. Ya Allah, bring about good conditions. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun 'alal mursalin.
And you put the phone or your watch off today?